Celtics as well.
All the locals are friendly.
Has everything you need without feeling like a big city.
Canberra.
Wangar Ali Majinu, Dan Borsia, ABC Radio Canberra, Waraji.
I wonder, did you learn language at school? Was Indonesian offered where you went to school? Is it perhaps where your children have studied or are studying? Well, there's a petition that's gaining quite a bit of traction on change.org, protesting the decision by Narrabundah College to remove Indonesian as a subject at the school from next year. The petition was posted 6 days ago and since then has accumulated 5,000 signatures. We've asked to speak to the minister. We didn't even get a response back from the minister's office. They haven't even contacted us back. So we also contacted the ACT Education Directorate and asked to talk about this. They wouldn't speak, but put out a statement from an anonymous person in the office saying that Narrabundah College is currently considering the feasibility of continuing to offer an Indonesian language program as the interest for Indonesian in the student choices for 2019 is currently below the college minimum of student numbers per class. These decisions are made at the school level. In this case, Narrabundah College's principal and the education directorate are exploring alternative options. Now, I'd love to know what those alternative options are, but given that we can't speak to anyone either from the minister's office or the directorate, it's kind of difficult to find out. So why is the interest in Indonesian language program low? Given they're our largest neighbour, were described by some prime ministers as our best friend in the region and a crucial partner in trade, in security, in business as well. Should more Australians be learning the Indonesian language? Dr. George Quinn is an adjunct professor and visiting fellow at the ANU School of Culture, History and Language. He signed the petition. He's along now. Good morning. What do you make of this?
Good morning, Dan. It's a pleasure to join you. It's Narrabundah College is not unique. It's been hit with a kind of a double whammy, the decline in student numbers at the Year 11 and Year 12 level, and also difficulty finding teachers, I believe, that can fit in with the conditions of the school. It's not clear to me, anyway, why there has been such a sharp decline in the number of students studying Indonesian at the advanced level. If you look at government schools in Canberra, Year 7, there would be more than 400 students, at least that was the case last year, studying Indonesian in high schools in Year 7, and that withers away to less than 20 in Year 12, so a 95% drop. And the reasons for that are not at all clear. I think possibly as students approach the end of their schooling, they're thinking about employment. So they become more utilitarian in their priorities. They want to think about what's going to get them a job. And that may be one factor. I think it's quite an important factor.
Hey, absolutely.
Another factor is the spread of global English across the nations of Asia.
Now, unpack that for me, because this is an interesting term that is being debated widely now. What does that mean, this spread of global English?
Well, this is English as a second language used across the countries not only of Southeast Asia but East Asia and even countries that are traditionally not interested in foreign language state like Japan. And what that means is that the countries of Southeast and East Asia are rapidly becoming bilingual, but Australia is not. Australia is traditionally and determinedly monolingual. So I think the message does get through to our secondary school students who are very much wired into connecting with the world through the internet and so on. And they think, well, what is the point of studying a foreign language, a difficult and demanding foreign language, not just Indonesian, but many other languages? What's the point of doing that for many, many years when if you go to a country like China or Indonesia, people are falling over themselves to speak to you in English?
Well, let me ask you that question. What is the point, in your view, of learning a foreign language?
I think there's a very great point. It's actually set out in the language policy of Narrabundah College and also many other colleges. If you read their language policy, which you can download from the internet, they have a lot of reasons for why foreign language study in general is important. And in particular, I think the study of Indonesian. For example, if I just look at this, I have it before me right now. Learning additional languages widens horizons, broadens cognitive and cultural experience, and develops communicative and intercultural competence. It may sound a bit wishy-washy, but it's true and it's important. And we have seen a fantastic example of how important this is just in the last couple of days. Australia and Indonesia worked hard to get a free trade agreement up and running. And because the Australian government has been clumsy in their understanding of Islamic culture in Indonesia and how crucial Islamic identity is to Indonesia and how important the Palestinian issue is to Indonesians, that very profitable free trade agreement is now on hold. Now, there is a good example of how important a study of the language and knowledge about the cultures, not just of Indonesia, but the other countries of East and Southeast Asia, is to Australia's, to Australia's bottom line.
Yeah, we've become acutely aware in the last night, the Prime Minister meeting with leaders in Singapore, and this is one of the core issues for Joko Widodo, speaking very vocally about this, and we could talk about this for some time. I want to come back to education and this question around schools, colleges here in the ACT dropping Indonesian. What does that say to you?
It says that there's a kind of a macular vision or a blindness regarding our immediate near neighbour. I don't know quite why that is. I think myself, Dan, that possibly religion comes into it, because Indonesia is the biggest, easily the biggest Muslim country in the world. And it's not just somewhere over in the Middle East, somewhere in some distant place. It's right up in your face.
Well, if you live in Darwin in the top end, it's quicker to get to Jakarta than it is to get to Canberra.
Absolutely, yes. I've lived in Darwin, and I could get across to Timor in one and a quarter hours.
That's right. When I was there, I used to do that trip regularly, reporting and into Indonesia very quickly.
Yes.
And the culture there, you're acutely aware of it in the Northern Territory. Is there a disconnect at this end of the country? And what is the lesson, or what is this saying to you about leadership within education?
It's saying that the leadership is very poor at the moment on this particular matter. We've had ad hocery, endless ad hocery, not just as far as supporting Indonesian is concerned, but foreign language study in general has not been well managed. And we need to bear in mind, Dan, that the Indonesian language is actually very dynamic and is projecting itself actually beyond the borders of Indonesia into Southeast Asia, into the ASEAN countries. Mm-hmm. I've just come back a couple of days ago from the National Congress of the Indonesian Language in Indonesia. They invited me up there to address this Congress, and more than 1,000 delegates there from all over Indonesia, and a sprinkling of delegates from other parts of the world as well. And one of the sessions, plenary session, was devoted to this attempt by Indonesia to project their language into the countries of Southeast Asia, the ASEAN countries, to make it a kind of a lingua franca. Mm. It's already spoken throughout Indonesia and in Malaysia, of course. That's called Malay there, but it's the same language basically as that.
Yeah, they're the same underlying principles, aren't they?
The same language.
Yeah.
And now they are sending teachers in quite large numbers to Thailand to teach Indonesian, and also are starting to get teachers into Vietnam and the Philippines. Now, what's happening is that Indonesian is starting to project itself internationally, and so it's not just a question of coming to terms with the national language of our huge neighbour, but also what may be an important language throughout the whole region.
And the question of diplomacy comes very strongly into this as well. And on that, you say that the leadership is poor, that these decisions are being made, and talk about this ad hocery.
Yes.
What message does this send to Indonesia about Australia's view? Because we have, as you've mentioned, those high-level talks. This is important as well, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is indeed. You will have noticed, Dan, if you look at the petition that was got up, not by professionals in the field like me, but by the students at Narrabundah School, you'll notice that many of the people who have signed that petition come from Indonesia. There's an awareness in Indonesia that we're the language was once important in Australia's education system, it is now withering away. And that bewilders some Indonesians, and some take it as almost as a kind of a slap in the face for Indonesia, that Australia is turning away from trying to get some kind of deeper understanding of Indonesia. And I came across this at the Indonesian Language Congress just 2 weeks ago. People were bewildered at the decline of Indonesian in Australia, and some of them, not all, but some take it as a sort of gesture of disrespect, because learning a foreign language is actually a way of showing respect to another culture. And you can't do that with all cultures, of course, but you can't learn all foreign languages, but you can learn some. And if you deliberately turn away from that language and you refuse to communicate with other people in their terms, you say to them, you want to communicate with me? You've got to use my terms, not yours. Yeah. That is regarded as by some as being somewhat disrespectful. And that's one of the issues that you find widely spoken about in Indonesia. And I certainly heard it at the Indonesian Language Congress 2 weeks ago.
And in my reporting in Indonesia, that's something that keeps coming up time and time again. I just want to put to you, Dr. George Quinn, adjunct professor and visiting fellow at the ANU School of Culture, History and Language, a text in from Anne, who says 5,000 signatures on the Bunda petition, but only single figure enrolment number of students who wish to study Indonesian. How very Canberra. The school money must be directed in the most appropriate way, and making a class for a handful of students is not viable. I want to get your response to that, but you're talking about the broader picture of this and how it fits into the ACT curriculum, aren't you? And the leadership from government down about the role of this language.
I think so. I'm talking about the not just Indonesian, but foreign language study in general as a strategic part of education in Australia. Narrabunda College, I mean, their heart is in the right place, but they're in a cleft stick, managerially speaking. Yep. And we have to sympathise with the dilemma that they face with falling student numbers. But we have to also acknowledge that there has been very little concerted attempt either in schools or at the government level to actually stimulate interest in the study of Indonesian and other foreign languages. Very little indeed. And what has happened, like the NALSAS program and other attempts by the government to stimulate Indonesian and other foreign languages, Asian languages, that has been ad hoc. It has been for a certain period of time. The money runs out. It has a stimulating effect for a while, and then it's demoralising to suddenly find that, that support has now suddenly disappeared and we have to go back to square one.
Well, look, it's certainly a fascinating conversation. We will be talking more about this, and it's been really wonderful to chat with you this morning. Many thanks.
Thank you very much.
And that was Dr. George Quinn, adjunct professor and visiting fellow at the ANU School of Culture, History and Language. And if you've got a view on this, you can send a text on 0467 922 666 or give me a call on 1300 681 666. Sue has texted in, Dan, if I remember correctly, ABC Radio in the 70s had a program called something like Learn Indonesian. Cheers, Sue. Thanks for that. I'll follow up on that one. And this one from Megan in Cornwall. Our primary school reinstated Indonesian this year after no specific language lessons for about 3 years. Finding a part-time teacher, we're a small school, so we don't need, can't afford full-time language teacher, was a big problem. Luckily, another school nearby dropped Indonesian and were able to pick up their teacher. The local high school doesn't teach Indonesian anymore, so not sure of the value of learning it in primary school. And Megan, this goes to the point that was being made there about the leadership here and about the big picture thinking. And, well, to use the term of Dr. Quinn, they're the ad hocery around the way we look at languages and the way we have these conversations. That's a conversation I want you to be a part of. You can send me a text on 0467 922 666.
To celebrate Oz Music Month on ABC Radio, we've dedicated every Monday to our
ask, however.
And getting lots of views on a whole range of different topics this morning. This one from Frank. Hi, Dan and Adam. For effective language education, this was after we were speaking about some colleges scrapping Indonesian courses earlier this morning. Frank says we need a combination of strategies. Individual schools contribute what they can in each local context, but we need to supplement this with strong central delivery options after school hours, as in Sydney, Melbourne, Adelaide, Darwin and Alice Springs. And that's such an interesting point, isn't it? Because as we were hearing from our guest earlier, this is not necessarily about one school. If they haven't got the students interested, then that is obviously a decision they need to make. The overarching and the umbrella issue here is about leadership and about the priority that the curriculum and that our schools put on that, coming from the leadership of our politicians.
It's a different language, but I can attest to the delivery of some after hours classes. I'm currently taking Auslang classes after hours, and they exist in the ACT. I'm not sure of how many diverse languages, speaking languages that is, that are offered, but I've had a Bo Peep before. There are several, so maybe that is a way to provide some of these languages, which are very important in our region, but for whatever reason, some schools can't support into the future.
Yeah, and goes to the heart of that leadership question we heard earlier, that there is a vacuum of leadership and that an ad hoc approach. This goes to the heart of the politicians, and again, we've put in calls to speak to the education minister who hasn't even responded to those calls this morning.
Keep your thoughts coming. 1300 681 666, the phone number here on Breakfast. The SMS is 0467 922 666. Adam Shirley and Dan Borscher with you. from all Australians